This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And it is really a beautiful day. Today, I am out of the closet where I have been in my library closet, one of my two library closets, and I am in my main library, and this is a room with a view. I am overlooking Clearwater, the intercoastal waters. I can see the Gulf of Mexico ahead of me. I'm on Skype. Thank you, Ed, for suggesting it. I never did Skype before, and I did Skype in the studio with Ed, but I didn't have it at home, and so Ed suggested that I get a nice your microphone and earphones, and it worked out so nicely. So I can sit here in my, I mean, I love being in the studio, but this is sort of fun. And I'm looking out here and just thinking about everybody, particularly up north, where it is still so cold. I can't believe it. People are having the weirdest weather, and I know that that also doesn't help when you're under a lot of pressure. So I just want to take a few minutes. Rita Moreau is going to be joining me in a few minutes. And Rita is one of those glorious and wonderful golden threads that happened to me when I started Joy on Paper. Because when I started Joy on Paper, I named it after my three joys. My husband and my boys, because those are my joys. And my fourth joy is the joy of reading and writing. And so it was real easy for me when I got the idea for the program at 4:15 one morning, and I just thought, Joy on Paper. I want to share the joy that I have from reading and the joy that I have from writing with everyone, and to encourage people to help authors promote their books and to help readers find books and to learn the stories behind the books. And so that's how Joy on Paper started. I want to take a special minute today to say that, you know, we have all been going through so much, and I didn't mention it before. My husband came home from the hospital yesterday. Now, he was in the hospital not because of any of this virus stuff, but for something else. But of course, it's scary. It's so scary to be in a hospital at any time, and particularly at this time with all of the precautions they're taking. Because it was the first time that he had ever been in the hospital that I wasn't there. And of course, it's scary. Before, when he had knee surgeries and other things over the years, I was always there, and I always slept in the chair next to him, because that's just what I am. When I was young, I worked as a candy striper in a hospital, and those years were absolutely fantastic. I started when I was 14. And in those days, it was a small hospital. We had 34 beds, and it was just so much fun. It was so much fun to work as a candy striper. I learned so much. And one of the things I learned is that the middle of the night's a scary time for people. And although I was young, on the weekends, on Friday nights and Saturday nights, I would often take the late shift with the registered nurses. And so I saw what it was like at night. And so when, after the years, and, you know, it was many years before I ever went back to a hospital at all. And then when a few times when my husband had surgeries, I didn't want to leave him alone, even though I know, you know, that there's nice nurses. I just never wanted to leave him alone. So this was the first time that he was alone. And I do want to take a minute to thank the nurses at Morton Plant Hospital. There were a couple of them that were absolutely fantastic. I can't remember all their names, but they were so great to my husband, and they were so great to me. And they talked, just gave me time, even though, you know, everything's going crazy. they took time to talk to me, and I appreciate it. But he's home now, and so I there's lots of things happening. I have doctor's calls, all sorts of things. So that's why I asked Rita to join me today to just help me get through this, because I might have to pop up and down a few times. But I wanted, again, just to thank the nurses at... Everybody can hear me now? Okay, thanks, Ed. I don't know, with all these connections and things happening. I think, I'm in a condo complex and everybody is home. All the parking lot is completely full for all three buildings. So everybody's on their internet and probably, we're having bandwidth problems. I don't know. That's why I'm not sure how long I will be able to stay on. But I'm going to play two very important promos to me. One for Johnny Clark. I love Johnny Clark. He's been in the studio with me so many times. He's just wonderful. And Ed did this wonderful promo. People just love it. And so I want to play that. And then I want to play a promo for Glenn Erickson. He is a wonderful, wonderful author. He was a businessman. Well, he is a businessman. And he's just so fascinating as a person, but he always wanted to write, and so he started writing. And his newest book, Android Love, which is available on Amazon. Well, it's funny. We're wondering what's going to happen in the future and what the world is going to bring us. So you never know. We might all become androids. So I'm going to play those two promos in a row. We'll do commercials, and then I might be back. If not, Rita Moreau will join you, and she will handle the rest of the program in her absolutely wonderful fashion and talk about how wonderful it is for her that she has found the joy on paper. And there is nothing like it. One of the things I want to also thank Andrew Grant and Tasha Alexander and Peter Riva, who also acted as guest hosts, because they know that the joy is not just the reading or the writing, but the research. So even if you can't concentrate on writing, you can always do research. It's fascinating and it keeps your mind busy. So Ed, go ahead and play those two promos. I'm going to go check on my husband and we'll do commercials. And if I'm back, I'm back. If not, Rita, take it over.
From the author of gut-wrenching novels Guns Up and Gunner's Glory, now a gut-wrenching comedy, Section 8. One fan writes, Section 8 is inspired insanity. Johnny Clark should receive the Pulitzer Prize and his commitment papers in the same ceremony. You will laugh till it hurts. Section 8, it's 1946, and President Harry Truman has two goals in life, dump the U.S. Marine Corps and get reelected. Can he convince Congress that the Marine Corps is obsolete? He'll try, but first he wants to use them one last time. There's something he needs them to do, a little mission to China to steal something that one of his contributors need. It's dangerous, but who cares? Marines are expendable, or so he thinks. What could possibly go wrong? A lawsuit by the Vatican? An attempted assassination by a dead assassin? Flamethrower sermons? If that's not enough, there's a missing A-bomb. This book has it all, even a love story. Remember, Section 8 is only a temporary state. You Hope, written by a true American hero. You'll love this book, now available on Amazon. So get it today. Section 8 by Johnny Clark. Semper Fi.
From the pen of local storyteller Glenn Erickson comes a tale of romance and suspense. A truck driver encounters a beautiful woman fleeing in the night. Why is she running? Who is she running from? When Richard stops to help her, he has no idea his life is about to change. His quiet life as a widower is turned upside down when he discovers that Marie, as she calls herself, is really an advanced android. One who not only has escaped those who created her, but who has become self-aware. She wants to be free. She wants to live. Can Richard protect her from the corporation that claims her as their property to do what they want with her? Will Marie be able to find justice before she's captured by a bounty hunter? Android Love is a new type of love story. Does an android have the right to feel love? To form an unshakable bond with a human that defies logic? The story of Richard and Marie will touch your heart and get you thinking about the world of the future. Are we prepared? Android Love, written by author and storyteller Glenn Erickson, is available on Amazon KDP.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It looks like bandwidth is bad here. Anyway, I just want to say, I'm turning the show over to Rita Moreau for the rest of the hour, but I do want to say to my goddaughter, I'm sorry I missed your birthday. Kanisha, I love you, and I hope you had a wonderful day, and we'll get together as soon as all of this mess is over. And right now, let's...
Hey. This is me, Rita Moreau, and I am in a very unusual situation, but I am very happy to be here to chit-chat with you, and thank you, Patsy. She just threw the baton literally at me, but I do want to thank Patsy for everything she does for writers. We all have Kindles, those of us who are Kindle readers or ebook readers, and they are full of all the many, many well-known authors that we all know and love. But she does a lot for little old chihuahuas like me, and I truly, truly appreciate it. And so I just want to talk to you a little bit about the Joy on Paper. We're kind of in a really bizarre time right now. I think we all are indoors safely, or as indoors as we can be. And for writers, it's a little unsettling. I would say it probably would be a good thing for writing, for writers, because you really have nowhere else to go. I've written my initial series, the Mary Catherine Mahoney series, which is kind of like my alter ego. Mary Catherine grew up in the a large Greek boisterous family, like I did. And I've written five of those in that series, and I decided to self-publish them. I won't tell you how old I am, but time was of the essence. I looked at going traditional. Traditional is a long road. Might be a little more prestigious to say, yes, I'm with blah, 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 or you have an agent, but it takes time. It takes time to find an agent and to find a publisher that would take you on. With that in mind, I decided to go the indie route, self-publishing. It was very easy to do. I say very easy to do because my husband, George Moreau, I'm Rita Moreau, by the way, if I haven't mentioned that, he is the author's husband, and he enjoys being the author's husband. He kind of likes being in the background, but that's good. He helps me with the computer stuff, with book covers, with all the techie stuff, which is over my pay grade, and he enjoys doing that, and I have to thank him for that. So I did go, I went the indie route, and I started, actually, we were like retired people. We were out in a motorhome, traveling the country, seeing all the national parks, and that was something that was very beneficial, which is something that I'm finding is very difficult right now. When you're out and about, free to go, even if you go to the grocery store, I'm always looking at, you know, looking at people, looking at characters. Oh, blah, blah, blah. That could be somebody I could use. It kind of taps into that creative process in your mind. Where if you're sitting in your house trying to write, I actually have found it was almost like slow motion. You don't have that outside input. But what you don't have, which is a good thing, is distractions. Not too long ago, well, it was a little while ago, I went to hear Lisa Unger, one of the big top authors that live in my Kindle. And one thing she talked about was picking a time. Everybody wants to write a book. You know, we all do. But pick a time that is good for you. For me, it was early in the morning. I got up in the morning. The brain was, it was fresh. And that was a good time for me to write. And that is my process. I get up in the morning, I write, and I found that to be very beneficial. And there was no laundry or housework. There's only so much of that you can do, and there was no escaping. So I have found that to be my way to go. And apparently it works because it's taken me a while. It's not like something you do overnight. I've written 5 Mary Catherine Mahoney mysteries, and Mary Catherine Mahoney is somewhat like me, a accountant type, a CPA, and she had worked for the IRS. She worked, of course, a lot of this is fictional. She worked for the IRS in a deep secret, followed the paper trail type of group. And that was sort of my background. So I found that to be something that I have heard, write what you know. So I wrote from that standpoint, and I really, really enjoyed it. You get to know your characters. After a while, I have listened to authors on Patsy's show, and basically they start to talk to you. You just get to know them, and they will talk to you. In fact, they become like little chatterboxes. So I've enjoyed writing that mystery series. It's, I would say, a cozy mystery series, but recently I'm a member of Sisters in Crime, a national writers organization, and those of you who are interested in writing, and I know you are, look into joining a writers group, a local writers group. Very, very beneficial. And join maybe some national writers groups. So I'm a member of Sisters in Crime. Last year, along with Patsy, we went to BoucherCon, which is a huge mystery readers type convention that was held right in our backyard at the Vinoy in downtown St. Pete. And so I did get the opportunity to meet other sisters in crime. And that's nice, because writing can be very solitary. You are pretty much by yourself, between you and your mind. So I wouldn't say I'm an extrovert. I would say I'm an introvert, but yet I do enjoy socialization. In fact, when I retired from my full-time job, for the longest time, it took me a while to kind of get used to, you work all your life to retire. And it was like, okay, what am I missing here? Well, number one, I think I was missing an identity. You know, for me, I'm a very structured person. And so I had an identity. If I'm not good with small talk. So I always had something to fall back on, blah, blah, blah. And I usually didn't tell people I worked for the IRS. That was like a no-no. I usually would say things like, I work for the Treasury Department, which I did. So, anyway, where am I going with this? But I want to tell you my inspiration for writing is my mother. My mother Georgia. She was quite something. And she has been gone now almost 19 years. And I'm getting a little teared up here because I feel like she's sitting right next to me, helping me to do this radio show. My mother was, she grew up, she was born in the late 1920s. She grew up in the 30s and 40s, and she was bit by the showbiz bug. That was her dream. She got married and she raised me and my two brothers, and she was a mom, and we grew up in this large, boisterous Greek family. She took care of us. She raised us. Circumstances were such in the 1950s, she found herself being a single mom, which was kind of unusual back then. But she was unbelievable. She took care of us. She got us to Catholic schools, probably to keep us out of trouble. She took care of her mother, her great uncle, the whole family. She was the matriarch. I don't know if I say that right. But my mother was bitten by showbiz, and she never lost sight of her dream. Never. She was, found her spot in showbiz was through public access in Tampa, Florida. In fact, the story goes that she was knocking on the door the day they opened the public access TV station in Tampa. So she had a TV show, won many, many awards. People to this day remember her. It was called Montage, and she was the weather lady. So her part was really amazingly, my mother had this ability. She was like a chairman of the board. She had this ability to gather people to do the work and to do a show, and she would gather people. She would pick them off the street. Hey, you want to be on my show? And later on in life, my mother had many health issues. And so, as children do, I started taking her to the doctors. And of course, she had no interest in talking about her health. She talked to the doctors about her TV show. So my mother, she went through several bouts of cancer. That nasty C word. And in the latter part of her life, remember taking her to the oncologist. And thank God I was there, because I was the historian when it came to her health. But she was more interested in talking about her dream. So my mother inspired me to write. And I know she's always behind me, pushing me forward. So I thank her, and I miss her, and I think we all do. We miss those who have left us. Anyway, I am at a point where I've done these independent author. I've done five books in a series, and I decided maybe I've gone as far as I can as far as writing. I love it, but I wanted to try something that I decided not to go down that road in the beginning, and that was going the traditional route. So I knew to go a traditional route, you need a new series. They are not going to pick up on a series that's already been published. They want something new. So I also know that right now the publishing world, as we all are, is upside down. Most of our publishing people, editors, and so on and so forth, they're in New York, and we all know what New York has been going through, the epicenter. So they're like us at home. So I knew I had to start a new series. So I did. I started my new series. It's called The Ghost and the Camper. And I actually borrowed a couple characters from my Mary Catherine Mahoney series, so they kind of came over to my new series. And I want to thank Patsy, because Patsy gave me the idea for this series. Being that I started out writing in our traveling around in our motorhome, I decided my characters would be going across country in a motorhome, trekking across country in a motorhome. And at each location, of course, there's going to be a murder they're going to have to solve. And my protagonist, Mabel, she's going through a change of life, Her husband, Jack, kind of lost it. And not to give away the spoiler, she is out on the road doing something she never has done. With five kids, she is out on the road traveling with a like-minded group of people. And lo and behold, she's in a vintage Airstream camper. So I had to do a lot of research on Airstream campers, and there is a lot of research is easy. Don't worry about that part. Well, worry about it. Do it good. But she's in an Airstream camper, and her camper is haunted by Irma. Irma was a showgirl in Vegas, and what polite company would call a madam of the night. So she haunts Mabel's camper, and she enlists Mabel and Mabel's friend Lily to help her to make her way out of purgatory. She's in purgatory, and in order to find her way up that bridge, she has to do good deeds. It gets kind of like it will cut her time in purgatory. So that's what I'm working on now, and so I finished the first. And I said, well, what the heck? I knew the top five publishing houses, you have to have an agent. You just have to. But there is a publishing house out of New York, Kensington. And I was very lucky to meet a number of Kensington authors at VoucherCon. And they are very happy where they're at. I've read and heard good things about Kensington. And so I said, well, what the heck? The nice thing is with Kensington, they will consider an author like myself with a new series without an agent. So I sent a query. A query is something you really have to work on, maybe 250 words. You send it to an editor with the publishing house. You find the editor who would consider your genre. My genre is cozy, kooky books. They're more kooky. My last Mary Catherine Mahoney series, The House on Xenia, we had aliens and a house that took care of its people. But anyway, I did send off a query, and lo and behold, the editor must have sparked her interest because she asked for my manuscript. And so she has my manuscript, and usually you want to give your editor, the editor in a publishing house, 3 months. You don't want to bug them. You don't want to be, you want to be part of the team. You want to be a good player. So unfortunately, 3 months went by, and we found ourselves in the midst of where we are today. So I am hopefully waiting to hear back from the Kensington editor. I try not to bug her, but in the meantime, I am working on my second book in a series, The Ghost in the Camper, and I decided, based on some feedback from my Kensington author friends, they suggested a developmental edit. So a developmental edit is a very special type of edit. Number one, if there's one thing I have learned, is you need an editor. You need an editor. I mean, you can write all day long, but you need an editor. So please, it's not cheap. Find an editor. They will, you just want it to be a professional product. So a developmental edit is a special edit. It's where the editor will look at your words and make recommendations. One thing about any book is, especially a mystery, you want to move the plot along. That's very, very important. So I'm in the midst of going through my developmental edit, working on the second in the series, doing her recommendations. And one thing about this editor, who was recommended by a Kensington author, she's excellent. I sent her my work, and she does her work, her suggestions come back on paper. That's just the way she works. A lot of editors work through something called Word Tracks. So you get a digital thing back and you work through that. But this particular editor, she sends it back on paper. And at first I was a little overwhelmed when I looked at all these red notes. I was like, oh, holy crap. But what I have come to like about her work is that it's very in-depth, and I understand why she had to do it the way she does. Sometimes when you're writing, you have to do what I call longhand. Something about writing with a pen in your hand, your brain goes straight through that. And so that's the way she returned the developmental edit. So I am working on that. And one thing about this particular editor, she doesn't hold your hand. And that's the way it would be in a if I were so lucky to be able to go on with Kensington. They're not going to hold my hand. They expect a professional. They give you a deadline, which is something I need, and you get the work out. So that's my story. I think I've rambled on. I want to maybe wrap it up, and just like Patsy does, she encourages you to put the words on paper. You don't have to write mysteries. I wrote mysteries because that's what I like to read. Cozies. At first, I really didn't know what genre I was writing in, but I've come to learn it's a cozy, kooky mystery type thing. So find something that you enjoy writing and just do it. Just do it. Sit down every day, write. That's very, very important. And what better time to start writing other than right now? What else do we have to do? Every day, write. It's a process. Don't look down the road. Oh, my God, how am I ever going to finish a book? Well, you will finish a book if you sit down and every day you tell yourself, I'm going to write. Just start there. Then maybe you might find, a traditional book, they traditionally look for 80,000 words. So how am I going to write a book with 80,000 words? So I sort of mapped it out. I sort of made it a process. Okay, if I write one book a year, that's a lot of time to write a book. But say you want to go with two books a year, which is what a traditional publishing house would probably be looking at. Okay, that's like 4 months, more or less. Figure out 80,000 words divided by the number of days. Maybe give yourself 3 months. Give yourself 3 months to write the book. You need another month to go back over it. And then get it off to your editors, or if you're with a traditional publishing house, to your traditional publisher. So just find a process that works for you, and don't beat yourself up. It's something you're checking off your bucket list, and that's what I've done, and I thoroughly have enjoyed it. It's given me an identity, which I guess I need. I think we all need, especially if you're retired. You still want to be out. You still want to do something with your mind, something productive every day, or at least I do. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And once again, I want to thank Patsy Gill, thinking about her right now. She is just a wonderful person, and she is every day telling us about the joy on paper. There is joy on paper. Big Ed, I think at this point in time, Patsy usually throws the baton to you. I want to thank you, Big Ed, for everything you do, and just keep safe out there.
I think if Patsy's on right now, we can bring her in right now.
Okay, great. Terrific. Hello, Patsy.
Patsy, you there? Okay, we're going to take a commercial break.
Okay, all righty. I'll be here.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, Rita is back. Filling in for some big shoes here, Patsy Gill. Hopefully Patsy will join us before the hour is up. Listen, what I do, and I'm thrilled to be able to do this for Patsy with a Z, that is book buzzes. I am a book buzz person. I usually do a book buzz, which is just a little snippet about a book. That kind of gives you an idea about the book and maybe spurs you on to find out more about it. Most of these books can be found on Amazon. And I recently was telling a friend of mine, he said, I ran out of books to read, of course. You can go to Amazon, look up these books, and they have something. They can either send you a sample or you can look inside the book. I know when I'm shopping, when I used to shop before I got my Kindle at the bookstore, I usually was drawn to a book by its book cover, and then I looked at the back cover, and then I looked at a couple pages, and it pretty much hooked me. So that's what these book buzzes are. And the first one is a book buzz with a very well-known author, a very, very generous author, very kind author, such as Patsy. His name is Tim Dorsey. He writes those crazy Florida books. And so the first book buzz is a book buzz with author Tim Dorsey. So take it away, Ed. Thank you.
Hey, this is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz mystery from Florida's King of Mayhem, bestselling author Tim Dorsey's latest, The Pope of Palm Beach, is another madcap adventure. Here's the buzz. No one worships the Sunshine State as much as Serge A. Storms. Perpetually hunting Floridian arcana and lore, he and his permanently baked sidekick, Coleman, are on the road again. This time, they're on a frenzied literary pilgrimage that leads them back to Riviera Beach, the cozy seaside town where the boys spent their formative years. Growing up, Serge was enthralled by the legend of Riviera Beach, also known as Darby, a wilder at the port who surfed the local waves long before the hot spots were hot. A god on the water, the big-hearted surfer was a friend to everyone. The younger surfers, cops, politicians, wealthy businessmen, and ordinary Joes. A generosity of spirit that earned him the admiration of all. Meanwhile, there was a much murkier legend that made the rounds of the schoolyards from Serge's youth. That of the crazy hermit living in a makeshift jungle compound further up the mysterious Loxahatchee River than anyone dared to venture. Then Serge moved away, but never forgot. Now he's back, with those legends looming larger than ever in the rearview mirror of his memory. As his literary odyssey moves north from Key West, closer and closer to his old stomping grounds, Serge digs into the past as only Serge can. Along the way, he unintentionally disturbs some long-forgotten ground, attracting the attention of a cast of villains that only Florida can produce. As the body count grows, so does the list of questions. Fans of wacky crime fiction will have plenty of fun with The Pope of Palm Beach, a witty and deliciously violent delight from the twisted imagination of Tim Dorsey. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
So that was Mr. Dorsey, and Mr. Dorsey is a Tampa Bay native. He lives here locally, as well as Mr. Connolly, another favorite of mine. And I've read all of Mr. Michael Connolly's Bosch books. I love his books. Also love Robert Crace. I'm just throwing out some names that lit in my Kindle. I love Mr. Dorsey's books. Mr. Dorsey is a, like Mr. Connolly, Robert Crace, they have been writing books for a long time. And if you enjoy reading like I do, I'm a slow reader. In fact, I usually read late at night, and it takes me a while to read. I do have friends who are voracious readers. They could devour a book in hours. So, but I tend to like detective mysteries along those lines, and that's why I enjoy reading. And if you are interested in becoming a author, which I know you are, or you wouldn't be listening to this show, you need to be a reader. Number one, you need to read, and that's something I need to be doing more of. Currently, I am reading another author, a well-known author. His name is Sheldon Siegel, a very, very warm and kind person. He answers my emails, and I know he's a very busy author. Mr. Siegel writes sort of like a legal series. Mike Daly, Rosie Fernandez, his two characters. He has, I just finished The Dreamer. Excellent book. I love that book. I love all his books. So if you're like me, I like to find an author who's written a lot of books because then I'm set. That's how I found Robert Crace. He's Elvis Cole and Mr. Joe Pike. Those of you who are fans of Mr. Crace, you know who I'm talking about. So he has, like Mr. Connolly, dozens of books. So when I was traveling on in our motorhome, I went out and bought a bunch of paperbacks, and I had plenty of books to read. So I think, Big Ed, I think we might have another book buzz. We'll play one. Okay, Alan Brooks. There we go. Great. Thank you.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. A suspenseful, insightful, and beautifully written story, Margaret George, New York Times bestselling author of The Splendor Before the Dark, a novel of the Emperor Nero, is talking about Antonius, Son of Rome, by author Brooke Allen. Here's the buzz. After young Marcus Antonius's father dies in disgrace, he yearns to restore his family's honor during the final days of Rome's dying republic. Marcus is rugged, handsome, and has abundant military talent, but upon entering manhood, he falls prey to the excesses of a violent society. Through a series of personal tragedies, Marcus must come into his own. Desperate to redeem his name and carve a legacy for himself, he refuses to let warring rebels, scheming politicians, or even an alluring young Egyptian princess stand in his way. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. Start reading Antonius, Son of Rome by author Brooke Allen today. For more of my suggestions on the books you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joy on paper. Rita Moreau buzzing off for now.
Okay, well, this is Rita Moreau, and somehow I've managed to talk jibber-jabber, and I want to wrap it off. I'm going to be buzzing off, and I thoroughly have enjoyed chatting with you. Feel free to call in or email Patsy any questions, you know, anything we can help you with to put the joy on paper, put the writing on paper. We are going to end with a song. And I think you'll enjoy it. Hang in there. We're sending out virtual hugs because we have to keep our social distancing. And I'm going to throw out a big thank you to Big Ed. We couldn't do this without you. So hang in there. Continue reading. Take one day at a time. And I'm looking up at the heavens and saying, thank you, Mom. We did it. All right. Thank you. Buzzing off for now. Bye, Patsy. Talk to you later.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Tomorrow, just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after. Tomorrow, when the world is free, the shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see.
Today I'm gonna...
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.